Hello, you're tuned in to Super Art Creator Talk, episode 8.
All right, and welcome to Super Art Creator Talk. And today, we have Daniel Tompkins, a Union College graduate and a Union College Minerva Fellow who served the people of Siem Reap in Cambodia. Now, what the Minerva Fellows program is, it takes recent graduates of Union College with an entrepreneurial approach to addressing social problems and a commitment to the poor in developing countries. He also spent some time working with the Charles Darwin Foundation and the fundraising and marketing team at the Galapagos Island. Yes, that Galapagos Island for 6 months. He is a developing character designer with a specialty and focus in 2D TV animation. And right now he works in the advertising and marketing department for Rivers Casino. And I believe that he also was able to develop a character that they use currently. Please give it up for Daniel Tompkins. Thanks for coming on to Super Art Creator Talk.
Thanks for having me, Jermaine. I'm excited to be here.
You've done some amazing travel already, you know, right out the gate, right out of college with art and the 2D animation. So I'll start with the Galapagos Island. Is there any inspiration that you drew there that helped you with your character development? And what did 6 months in the Galapagos Island feel like?
So that was, it was probably one of the toughest times in my life, honestly, because that whole expression or idea of cabin fever or island fever, I should say, that's very real and it sets in very quickly.
Wow.
And it really taught me that even if you're working in quote unquote paradise, if you don't love your job, which I honestly didn't like my job very much there, you can still be not all that happy. So I was in this like top travel destination that is on a lot of people's bucket list to visit, but I still wasn't very happy because I wasn't necessarily doing the type of work that I wanted to do.
Oh, wow.
So I decided to, you know, kind of stick it out for 6 months. Practicing my art, you know, off work hours. And then I've just finally made the decision, you know, I got to go back and really give this whole passion of mine a full, like my full attention, because it's also really hard there. The infrastructure isn't there that we have in the US. I mean, it's a very isolated island. Right. So the internet is really poor. You can't go on YouTube and look up tutorials like you can here. There's a lot of things that, you know, that I had to live with out there. Like what I would have to do, I didn't have internet at home. So I'd have to, you know, stay late at the research station, download my podcasts and my movies and stuff there, and then take it all home and hope that I had gathered all the reference and stuff that I needed when I was working on projects. And most of the time I didn't, and I'd have to wait till the next day to gather more stuff. But it was, you know, you don't really realize what you have until it's all gone. I definitely had to live without a lot of stuff there.
Yeah. Oh, so you talk about it you know, being, you know, kind of hard for you, but then it pushed you into your vision. Now, do you think that affected, because it wasn't that long after your stint in Cambodia, right? Which was a whole different experience because you were teaching English and art. So how did that Galapagos experience, how does that compare into your experience in Cambodia?
Gotcha. So in Cambodia actually took place right after my senior year of college, which I took my first graphic design class. Mm-hmm. And that was really the ignition of the flame that became, I can pursue art professionally and actually, you know, make a living with it.
Oh, great.
So with that, I got the fellowship to go to Cambodia. And while I was in Cambodia, I was primarily teaching English, but I wanted to kind of bring something else to the table and to the school I was working at. Mm-hmm. So I was able to get some funding together from a donor, and just enough for three computers. It was a really small little computer lab that I was able to build, but I built this like digital art lab for the school, and I was able to get, actually they pirate all their software over there. So it's kind of funny, when I was buying the computers at a store, they actually had this checklist of like, all right, you want this software for free? You want that software for free? It was really, really funny. It was like, it's just like a menu of pirated software you could get.
Oh man.
At this computer
store. But you were doing it for the kids, right?
I was doing it for the kids. And it just, it's the way it flies over there. It's totally normal. So I was able to get most of the Adobe programs, and I taught a few different classes a week on top of my English classes. You know, just Adobe Illustrator, Photoshop. I taught a couple of the kids like some basic After Effects stuff. And for the most part, like, the kids really, really loved it. I mean, obviously you're gonna have a few students that don't take to it too well, but my younger students especially, they fell right in love with it. And it was really cool to see too how well young kids can, you know, pick that stuff up. And if you introduce it to them early on, they have so many more years to practice and develop their skills.
Oh, well, that's amazing. I wanna definitely hear some more about that. And, you know, as the person is killing their dog in the background, well, let's go, you know, overwalking their dog in the background. let's see what Mark's got to say with some questions.
Hi, Dan. This is Mark Edwards. How are you?
I'm doing well, Mark. How are you?
Very well. Very well. In a enclosed space here, but everybody's doing the same thing right now. We're all working from home.
Yeah.
Character designer in animation, specifically 2D TV animation. Can you tell the general public exactly what a character designer does?
Yeah, absolutely. So a character designer is kind of like a graphic designer, but instead of designing posters and you know, flyers, brochures, material, like movie posters and stuff, a character designer designs the characters in a television program or a movie or a feature film. So for example, take The Simpsons, for example, someone had to design, you know, what Homer Simpson is going to look like, to find the two little hairlines on top of him, that big gut, his like goatee sort of thing. Someone has to design Marge, her like giant cylindrical blue hair, you know, Bart Simpson, Lisa, somebody has to actually design what these characters are going to look like. And that's actually a totally separate piece than the animators who take those designs and actually make them move. So you're kind of like a graphic designer, but you're designing cartoon characters.
So you're not involved in the stop animation part of that. You actually do the actual creating of each character. Am I correct in that?
Yes. Yeah. That's the piece that I'm looking to get into, more the design than the actual moving of them, because I just don't have the patience for that.
Go ahead, Mark.
I was going to say, what is your process for designing? Everybody has a specific way of doing their art, their process. Can you go into a little bit about process of everybody does things differently? How do you work?
Yeah, so right now I'm very aware of the fact that my skills are not quite up to industry standards, so I'm still constantly practicing and working on my craft to try to get to that level of hireability. So when I practice designing characters, I take a lot of different approaches. I'll usually start with just gesture drawing, which is you're trying to draw something or someone and just communicate the overall feeling of it. Not necessarily getting every single detail right, but just getting the flow and the beauty of whatever pose that they're making.
Interesting.
Sometimes the dog is going crazy. Jesus.
Yeah. This is going to be some fun editing, but it's.
So a lot of the time, when I first started drawing, I was always too tight with my drawings. I would make every line like super, like kind of hard, and I wouldn't really let myself be loose. But now I'm a lot looser. I'll actually a lot of the time just start scribbling. Like I have an idea for a character. Like I want to create like a soda jerk from the 1950s. And I'll kind of have an idea in my head, but I'll just start scribbling on the paper. Right. And I'll start to look for a design in those scribbles. Because if you can take a more spontaneous approach to it, you're going to discover something that you weren't thinking of yourself, or weren't maybe even wasn't even possible to think of on your own. You kind of let these happy accidents happen just by keeping your design really, really loose while you're discovering what your character is going to look like. And then once you kind of come across something you like in that exploration phase, you can start, you know, putting down some heavier lines and sculpting the character and really making it into something that can be passed on to the next phase of the process.
So the process is sort of like a painter, where you have a canvas, you're working on a canvas and you're creating something. The same, and the starting process would be similar. Am I correct?
Yeah, I think it's pretty similar. A painter, usually they'll start in pencil and they'll lay down their idea in pencil first and then apply paint. But I think most artists will take a very initial loose approach and just kind of move their hand around really quickly. They'll hold their pencil in ways that aren't typically normal, just to try to break their normal way of approaching it, so that something interesting can happen and they're not just going to do things the way they've always done.
That's great. Now, can you, you know what, to actually put it into a process of a character you designed. Now, you designed a character for Rivers. Can you talk about that character design? And maybe that process will give us a real world, you know, something with where we, your approach to a finished product.
Oh yeah, that's a perfect example. So for November, Rivers has always done a Gold Rush campaign. And they wanted this year to do a custom character, kind of like a prospector. Mm-hmm. So, you know, first I'll start with research. I'll just start looking up different images of prospectors, you know, what they wore, and just different examples and inspiration of what, you know, people looked like back during the Gold Rush. Mm-hmm. So once I get my inspiration and my reference together, I'll start going back to that scribbling phase, just kind of internalizing the reference, making up different designs. Because one character that you see finished, like my finished prospector, I drew tons and tons of other versions of him trying to find the version that worked best.
Okay.
So you generally don't want to go with your first option, because it's very likely that you can push that design into something even better. So I tried, skinny prospectors. I tried fat ones. I tried some in between, big hats, small hats, all these different variations of features and just different ways to try to push the design into the best version it could possibly be. Right. And then once I have a drawing on paper, because I always like to start just paper and pencil, I'll then take that drawing, take a photo of it, put it into Photoshop. Okay. And then I'll start pushing it even further there, and then eventually inking it. So I'll take a nice fine line, trace it out, get all the lines nice and clean, and then I'll add color to it all right in Photoshop. And then from there, it's usually finished. I'll send it over to whoever needs to approve it. This is always the most fun part of the process, waiting for for approval. But luckily this time around, there weren't too many revisions or anything like that. They actually liked it right off the bat. which doesn't normally happen. Usually there's a lot of back and forth, but they decided to go with the design, and then he was then applied to the core mailer that month. He was applied to all these different on-site signs. He was actually in a TV commercial.
Nice. Congrats, so, man. That's got to feel
congratulations.
Great.
Congratulations. Wow.
It was pretty cool to, because when I was sitting on the couch one night with my roommate and the commercial came on, I was like, oh, yeah, I did that. Well, so it was my first, it was the job that allowed me to finally call myself a character designer. Like, it's no longer a lie for this thing I'm facing. Like, I can finally say I am a character designer.
So, well, you will not lie.
Still trying to get to where I want to go, but
it's kind of like fake it till you make it, right? Like, all right, so now I've arrived, right? I've made money and I've made a design used by a company that everybody can see. So it's like, it's more, it legitimizes your work, right?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly the word I was just looking for. It finally legitimized it. Like, I have a skill that is desirable and it's usable.
Okay.
It has value.
Was that feeling that you got the same way actors feel when they see their name the first time on a marquee? Was it that kind of excitement for your first character to actually come to fruition?
I'd imagine so. I mean, I've never been an actor before, really, so I'm not sure what that quite feels like, but it's also like I was very excited to see it in the flesh. But then you kind of have to get over it quickly and just keep moving forward. Like, how do I do it again? How do I get better? How do I make, how do I do this again and even improve it? You know, how could I make it even better? So you can't rest on your laurels, so to speak. You got to keep pushing forward.
Well, definitely, you know, keep pushing forward. You know, that's ultimately what we have to do to get better at anything, right? But especially art. So, you know, it points to the future, right, Mark?
Yes, definitely. In relation to your advertising marketing day job, well, when do you have time to do your other work? It must be hard to go during the day and be involved in advertising and marketing. When do you have time to do the love of being a designer? You have to have some time to sleep, some time to relax. So when do you have time to do it all?
Yeah, that's always a really hard struggle. Back when things were normal and I had a real schedule, mm-hmm. I would typically try to get up pretty early, maybe 6:30, you know, squeeze in a half hour of drawing, then try to go to the gym. Cause I think physical activity is very important
in general, but I agree.
As an artist, I think it really helps get the juices flowing. Mm-hmm. And then I'd be, you know, working my 9 to 5. And then when I got home, it was usually, just work as long as I can. But I've also found, especially during this quarantine, like, I'm furloughed right now, so I have literally all day every day just to work.
Right.
But I've found when I have less time, I actually feel the need to make better use of that time, and I'll waste less of it.
Oh, I see. Yep. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you on that.
Yeah, because right now I have the whole day open, and yes, I'm getting more hours, but they're less quality hours than before, because when you only have a couple of hours to work on something, you have to make those hours count.
Mm-hmm.
But usually the bulk of it would be just, you know, after work. You know, sometimes I had this feeling of guilt because I was ignoring my roommates, just kind of holed up in my room drawing away. But you know, I recognize that I've found something that I can do that with. And that just, it's always calling me. So I have to feed the beast.
Right. So to speak. Feeding the beast. So we're talking the feeding the beast, right? Being kind of holed up as, you know, everybody else kind of is, except for, and shout out to the essential workers and definitely the frontline workers. We definitely appreciate that. But we talked about, you know, this period, right, of graduating college and traveling, you know, traveling the world. Do you think that that traveling and the energies that it may have given you, as opposed to being holed up and you really can't go anywhere, does one or the other help your creativity and your inspiration?
I would say definitely traveling has given me a lot of inspiration, because you're, as a character designer, it's important to get out and see people and see, you know, what people look like and just observe, like, all right, this person is wearing this article of clothing, and because of their build, their collar rides up a little bit higher than normal. And, oh, that guy's got a really interesting, nose. Or when you're out traveling, you come across so many different, types of interesting people, and you kind of take notes of all these interesting features, and it helps make better, more realistic characters with more personality that you wouldn't have seen if you were just kind of, you know, stuck in your room all the time. And I think that's something I'd kind of had on my agenda before everything was shut down. Like, I got to get out and just kind of go to coffee shops a little bit more often and draw who I see walk in the door. but now that opportunity isn't really there.
Right. So yeah, no, I mean, that makes sense. So then and on the flip side, so what are you doing now to keep up that creativity then? If, you know, we're not able to travel, what, you know, what are you doing? Or is it a losing battle? You know,
It's some days are definitely more productive than others, but okay. I'm trying to actually, I have a couple online classes that I have subscribed to that are kind of self-paced. I'm also taking a class with Chris Oatley, who's a former visual development artist for Disney, and he runs his own online art academy. And I'm taking a class with him right now, so that helps give my day some structure. But between the classes, I'm really just trying to regiment. All right, I'm going to start the day off with, you know, a page of gesture drawing. Then I'm going to do some just free drawing, just kind of draw whatever comes into my mind. Today, maybe I'm going to focus on drawing hands because I'm not so good at drawing hands. But it's always, I always make sure to end each day with having drawn something.
Right.
Okay. I very rarely will have a day where I didn't do anything.
Well, that's beautiful. So I mean, it sounds like you're saying, you know, even if you're not inspired right now, you're spending the time getting better.
Yes.
So you're taking the time to get better and getting more skills, so that when you do feel like you're in a position that you want to draw more, you're getting knowledge. And so you're basically, you know, I don't want to say forcing, but you're making sure that you're doing something productive by going out, you know, out to learn things, rather than just kind of resting on your laurels right now and letting your anxieties get the best of you at this point. Is that kind of like what you're doing?
Yeah, I would say that's exactly. Like, now is a really opportune time to just develop my skills further and work on those weak points, and so that when inspiration does strike, I'm more prepared. And it's been really cool to look at my work over the past couple of years, because I really started taking it seriously, I'd say probably about August of 2017.
Okay.
So we're coming up on 3 years, and just to look at the progress I've made over those few years has been, you know, pretty incredible. Mm-hmm. And then just to think, all right, if I just keep doing this, what's my work going to look like in another 3 years? I'm really excited to get to that point. And you just keep grinding.
Oh, that's great. You know what I mean? And you know, we didn't give it, we're working on a project together. So that, you know, as we kind of steady get into that, and that's been beautiful, you know, having you as a friend and a collaborator. You know, we'll definitely have you back to talk about that. We usually try to keep these things around 30 minutes here. So, you know, Mark, I don't know if you have kind of like a final question maybe to ask Dan.
Sure. Sure. You mentioned realism. And when you were talking about caricatures opposed to realism, how does that apply when you're dealing with animation? Are you more, is there a fine line to becoming, having your characters look too much like a painting opposed to a caricature in animation? Or which direct, I guess, what, if you were to describe the direction you were going in, what direction are you going in with your art?
Yeah. So one of my favorite artistic inspirations is Steven Silver. He did character designs for Kim Possible.
Yeah.
And what's the other one I'm blanking on? That's I can't think of it right now.
Yeah, you gave him a shout out. People can Google themselves.
He's an incredible artist. And one of the things he says, like, he doesn't really like to draw realistically because he's like, if I'm going to draw something realistic, I might as well just take a picture. Mm. So I don't typically like drawing realistic. I love exaggerating and drawing cartoony and, you know, more stylized pieces.
Right.
But the style is always dictated by the story you're trying to tell. There's a reason The Simpsons looks the way it does, and then Avatar The Last Airbender looks the way it does. You know, the story you're telling really dictates the style that you should use. If it's a very serious story with a lot of drama, you're probably not going to want to use the style of The Simpsons, because The Simpsons is cartoony and funny and silly. But I love the cartoony, silly style. Like that's my preferred way to work. But like I said, it depends on the story I'm trying to tell. I'll kind of mold my style to that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, that's beautiful. I mean, we're a pleasure to catch you, you know, kind of earlier in your career, and, you know, to have you, you know, come back as you keep advancing. But, you know, you've been a great guest, and to give us access to your approach and, you know, some of the wonderful things that you're doing. So we definitely have to have you back and from time to time and catch up with you. So I want to say thank you, Dan, for, you know, for agreeing to take part in this. But is there a place that people can go to maybe see, you know, some of your travels, you know, see some of your work? Is there a place that we can steer people to go to check you out?
Yeah, the best place is probably my website, danieltompkins.org. There's, okay. I actually have a decent amount of Galapagos photography on there.
Nice.
Mostly of just animals. There's also some street photography there. I have some character design work. That's another thing I got to get better at. Just getting my work to places where people can see it, because most of it just lives in my sketchbooks. But
that's all right.
But there is some work over at danieltompkins.org.
Okay, good, good. So I'll make sure that that's written for anybody to check out and go and look at some of your work. You know, it's kind of, thank you for going there. Mark, do you have some parting words, maybe?
No, just thank you, Dan. It was an interesting conversation, and the general public now gets an understanding of exactly what's involved to become in the animation industry. And that you gave great perspective and insight. So thank you.
Thank you much for tuning in to Super Art Creator Talk. Spread the word, and we'll catch you on the next episode.